This is season 8, episode 8 of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented again by Hooters, celebrating 40 years in honor of the anniversary. On the 4th of every month, Hooters will be hosting throwback events, bringing the 80s back with 83-cent wings and other great specials. Those other specials include great beer specials and $6 drinks all day, every day. My thanks to Hooters for their continuing support of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. We will be doing the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast draft at Hooters for the first time since 2019. It will be on a date and time and Hooters location in the greater Tampa Bay area to be announced. As I have talked about in a previous episode this season of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, we do our drafts live and in person. And for those of you who say, no, I don't do those because they take too long, you obviously have no concept or familiarity with the way I run fantasy drafts, which is why we do it live and in person and in 90 minutes or less. If you would like to play in the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast draft leagues, and you can physically be in Tampa at a Hooters location, and I will give you the date and time when you reach out to inquire about participating, you need to send me an email. As we are gauging the number of people who are interested in playing, there is no entry fee at all to play in any Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast League or any league that I have been affiliated with or run my entire life. I do not believe in charging money to play fantasy football. Send me an email if you want to play. Write.todd@yahoo.com. Write.todd@yahoo.com. Based on how many people inquire, and then I look at the numbers and we determine how many leagues we're going to have. And you always have to factor in that someone, because inevitably it's kind of like a golf tournament, someone's going to no-show, whether they tell you why they are no-showing or whether they are lying about them no-showing, or they're just going to no-show. I remember one of the years we did this, we had someone no-show 30 minutes before the draft, and the email I got was, well, I can't even walk from my front door to my car because it's raining so hard. So I assume the draft is off tonight. Please let me know when it's rescheduled. Really? Really? You're that much of a frickin' narcissist? Yeah, I didn't respond to that email. And there were already plenty of us at Hooters ready to draft. And I think at that time, it wasn't raining in the Hooters parking lot. Yeah. Wow. I hadn't thought about that in a while. So, write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com if you want to join one of our podcast leagues. Let's continue doing what we have done much of this week, which is player analysis based on numbers produced last year and what it may mean for your draft position of these players and evaluation of them. For this year, we have done the top 10 based on my 21st century standard yardage-based scoring settings. And why don't we do 7 today, and then we'll do 8 tomorrow, and that'll take us through the top 25. And then depending on some things that happen later in the week, you know, we start getting into week 1 of the preseason. There may be some signings, probably some more injuries. Who knows? We're starting to know who's moving up on depth charts. We may have some other information that factors into what we do for episodes next week. But for today, if you missed players 1 through 10 overall in terms of point production from last year in my scoring settings, you can listen to those episodes of the previous two podcasts to catch up. We will be picking up at number 11 with overall number 11 and RB3, and that's Austin Eckler. Eckler put up 271.7 points in my scoring settings last year, 13 touchdowns rushing, 5 touchdowns receiving. The total rushing yards, 915. Not 1,000 yards there. He did play in all 17 games. We played a 17-game fantasy season last year. 722 yards receiving. So let's compare Eckler's numbers to the top two fantasy running backs from last year, Jacobs and Henry. Eckler had exactly as many rushing touchdowns as Henry, one more rushing touchdown than Jacobs. Eckler had 5 receiving touchdowns. Henry and Jacobs had none. Jacobs and Henry combined for 798 yards receiving. Eckler nearly did that on his own at 722. The overall points, the difference between Jacobs and Eckler last year on a per game basis, less than half a point. Less than half a point difference in what you were getting last year out of Jacobs to Eckler, because Henry sat week 17, or he would have been RB1. And that would have been a game against the Dallas defense, but you have to assume Henry would have put up some points there to get to at least RB1. But not much difference, but just the difference in how it was done, how Eckler did it more via touchdowns than he did via yardage. His rushing yardage was barely half of what Jacobs was. Jacobs at 1653, Eckler at 915, Henry had 1538 in 16 games last year. Of course, Jacobs' sample size was 17 games. Eckler, one of many running backs complaining about his contract in recent months. Requested a trade? That doesn't seem to be happening. No new contract seems to be happening. Haven't heard very much about this recently, so I guess Eckler's just going to play unless, you know, there's going to be some hold-ins. Is there a chance that we get to week one of the National Football League regular season and you get several running backs who just want to make a statement and draw headlines on week one and basically say to their coach, yeah, I don't feel good. I don't think I can go today. And then we see what happens. You know, it's kind of them refusing to play. Or are they not going to do that? Are they not going to play that card? Nothing to go on with that yet. Eckler's had 2 very solid years. He now has a better offensive play caller in Kellen Moore, who clearly comes from a Dallas team that used running backs a lot. Justin Herbert continues his development. There's a lot to like there. So as long as Eckler is invested, motivated, you can look at these numbers and project that he's likely worthy of a similar position when putting together your draft boards for the fantasy season. Run CMC is next at number 12. So he came in at overall 12, RB4, with the in-season trade from Carolina to San Francisco. McCaffrey, 271.13 points in my scoring settings last year. 8 rushing touchdowns, 5 receiving touchdowns. So he essentially equaled Austin Eckler's production in as many games with 5 less rushing touchdowns, an almost identical receiving number of 741. Eckler had 722. But McCaffrey had 1,139 yards on the ground. Just in the last 24 hours, I saw a reference to the Niners potentially working out other backs. In a stunning development, Eli Mitchell seems like he's banged up already. in training camp. They're going to work McCaffrey a ton now that they have him in camp for a full season. I guess it was Bosa who sort of acknowledged recently how the Niners' window to win their first championship. You know, the Cowboys get a lot of shit for not winning a championship since Super Bowl 30. This just in, the Niners haven't won a championship since Super Bowl 29. So it's longer for the Niners. Sure, they've been to some conference title games. They've been to two Super Bowls. But in terms of winning a Super Bowl, the 49ers' last championship happened the year before the Cowboys' last championship. They're right there in the mix with the Eagles atop the NFC. And McCaffrey being there for a full season creates more optimism. I love McCaffrey and would love to own him in fantasy leagues this year. Overall 13 is Kirk Cousins. Played all 17 games last year in my fantasy season, weeks 1 through 17. Obviously, that's 17 weeks, so 16 games. All 17 for my scoring setting. So, yeah. 267.27, 29 passing touchdowns for Cousins. By the way, he was QB9. QB9, by the way. 8 of the top 10 in my scoring settings were quarterbacks. Cousins is QB9. 29 passing touchdowns, 2 rushing touchdowns, just 97 yards rushing, but threw for 4,547 yards. He threw for more yardage last year than Joe Burrow, although Burrow had one less game. Josh Allen had one less game. More than Trevor Lawrence. More than Geno Smith. The only player I see who threw for more yards than Cousins was a guy we're going to get to later in this podcast, Justin Herbert, and of course, Patrick Mahomes. Cousins had last year, 8 late drives to win games. The book on Cousins that he's good, but on the big stage, he fails. Whether it's a primetime game, they lose in the first round at home to the playoffs, to the Giants. He chose not to throw to Justin Jefferson in a key spot. Late in that game, Jefferson didn't do enough to help the Vikings get past the first round. So there's a lot of light on Kirk Cousins off that Netflix quarterback show. But from a fantasy standpoint, he was QB9 last year. And I've already mentioned Justin Herbert coming up later. I have a feeling more of you are going to go Herbert over Cousins. I mean, the numbers last year. Look, you don't care from a fantasy standpoint that Cousins doesn't win playoff games. But you do care, you know, when the Vikings are in a big spot or in a primetime game, he seems to come up small. And you're going to have the Vikings in primetime because they are a division contender and they are a playoff contender. I don't think this is a championship team. Cousins no longer has Dalvin Cook to turn and hand the ball to. Going forward, Alexander Mattison will take over that role. I'm excited about what Mattison might do, but I just don't know how much he can do it. Taking that step from being an RB2 to do it, you know, maybe once a month, if that, to doing it on an every game RB1 basis for the Vikings. It is a head coach with a very good offensive background. The wide receivers are there in Minnesota, including a new one that they drafted. So Cousins is probably passable as a fantasy quarterback. As I said about Daniel Jones, if you want to be that last owner selecting your quarterback because you feel that you can get enough production from that quarterback and you place a priority on other positions, Cousins might get you by. Next up as overall 14 is Jared Goff. The expectations on the Lions are extraordinary to me. I mean, hell, they're on The season opening Thursday night game at the Kansas City Chiefs, that line hasn't moved, which I thought it would. The Lions are getting championship futures money. Goff is getting money as a potential MVP candidate. I'm not buying any of that. But let's talk fantasy. So Goff last year was overall was QB10 and overall 14. Put up 261.73 points. He was durable. He threw for 29 touchdowns, same as Kirk Cousins, almost twice what Daniel Jones threw for, one less than Geno Smith, four more than Trevor Lawrence, seven more than Jalen Hurts. On the ground, not happening. Goff, zero rushing touchdowns compared to, say, seven for Daniel Jones, 13 for Jalen Hurts, seven for Josh Allen, eight for Justin Fields. But the passing yards, 44-38. That's healthy. Only 73 yards rushing. So Goff isn't going to get you anything in terms of the rushing element. He is not a dual threat quarterback. But if you are buying into the Lions this year, if you are buying into this as a high scoring offense, then Goff is one of those lower tier starting quarterbacks that you can draft later and hopefully get enough based on you getting double digit production from other positions you drafted earlier than quarterback. Our next running back is Nick Chubb. Favorite of mine, favorite of Kevin Stefanski. But there are some things in play here, namely Deshaun Watson for a full season. Chubb's usage and his production went down when Watson came off suspension last year. Chubb will have a new partner to potentially share time with in the backfield this year as Kareem Hunt is gone. Chubb last year put up 256.4 points in my season settings, in my scoring settings, 12 rushing touchdowns. Let's compare. Josh Jacobs, RB1, 12 rushing touchdowns. Derrick Henry, 13 rushing touchdowns. Austin Eckler, 13 rushing touchdowns. Run CMC, 8 rushing touchdowns. Nick Chubb, 12 rushing touchdowns. Not a ton via the air. He got one run, he got one receiving touchdown last year, 239 yards receiving. So it's negligible. It's a bonus when it happens. Most of the time, if Chubb is not handed the ball, he is not getting the ball. 1525, though, in terms of the rushing yardage. I love Nick Chubb. I do have to question whether he has the same value in this year's fantasy draft as he does in previous fantasy drafts. I'm not downgrading him. I just think the change to Deshaun Watson is going to impact him and how much he gets the ball. Play calling may be a factor here. So Chubb may work less. He may work as efficiently, but he may not be as much of a workhorse. I'd still love to own him. And yeah, he's still an RB. He's still an RB1. But I think in the end, I think you're safe thinking he'd be a great RB2 for your team. If you can get him as your second running back and get a big-time franchise guy like, say, a Christian McCaffrey as your number one, I think you're doing great. Justin Herbert, overall 16 last year. Justin Herbert, 253.67 points, 25 passing touchdowns, no rushing touchdowns. That's surprising to some. A couple years ago, Herbert was putting up some rushing fantasy points. It didn't happen last year. I don't know what Kellen Moore calling the plays means, because Kellen called less runs for Dak off, you know, Dak's bad foot injury that ended the 2020 was it the 2020 season where Dak had that that foot injury. So Dak has been less of a dual threat since then. He still can tuck it under and run, but doesn't seem to be doing it as much near the goal line as he was prior to that injury. I think Kellen Moore will utilize Justin Herbert's talents better. I expect, yeah, I would say, look, Herbert's going to have more than 147 rushing yards this year. I think he will have a couple of rushing touchdowns. Again, you have to consider it kind of like Chubb's receiving points. It's a bonus. It's not why you're drafting him. You're drafting him for the arm. You're drafting him for the passing touchdowns, you know, 25 of them, which was the same as Trevor Lawrence last year. I think that number will go up. I'm a big fan of Justin Herbert. I like him. I'd like to own him this year. I think you'd be very happy owning him with Kellen Moore calling the plays as well. We'll end the podcast with overall 17 from last year because this is real simple. Tom Brady was overall 17 last year, and based on that, he was QB 12 last year, ironically enough. No evaluation necessary this year because as of this taping, Tom Brady remains retired. So off the board. All right, we'll do 18 through 25 in tomorrow's podcast. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, of course, is presented by Hooters. Hooters is your spot to catch all the games this season. Try our world-famous wings, delicious seafood, stack sandwiches, salads, and more. 12 original Hooters locations in the greater Tampa Bay area. We will be at one for Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast drafting in the coming weeks. If you would like to play in one of our leagues, email me at wright.todd@yahoo.com, wright.todd@yahoo.com. We'll talk to you next time.